In 2009, a group of Kevin Smith fans converged on Brantford, Ontario, Canada. Sent there to play hockey, they soon discovered their mission was full of hijinks, shenanigans, and a whole lot of beer and poutine. Having survived their first year in the Great White North, they return every year to continue the tradition. But in 2015, three of them decided to document their adventures, trials, and tribulations. If you have come to laugh, cry, or simply enjoy yourself at their expense, then you have come to the right place. You have come to Jim's Barbecue.
Damn it! We're starting early today, apparently, with me swearing at my cats.
Hi, welcome to episode 15 of Jim's BBQ Podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Jim.
I'm Dylan.
Hey, boys, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Doing all right.
What's popping?
Not much. We have some special guests in our midst this evening.
Love special guests.
I know. We have a returnee guest to the podcast.
But Mike, these two have a very notable previous musical history, correct?
Oh, they do, don't they?
Yeah, you can't leave out that tidbit.
Oh, that's right. They did that. I'll let you say it. They did it together, but go ahead.
Yeah, weren't they like a pop cover duo of some sort?
Yeah, kind of in the vein of the Captain and Tennille.
That's what I heard.
Except the male doubled as the stoic bassist.
I was gonna say that they were the catalyst for Wham.
Oh, definitely.
And I gotta give a shout out to Andrew Wrigley because he never gets recognized.
And you know what the name of their group was, right?
It was Slam, right?
No. It was Muskrat Love.
Oh, Muskrat Love. That's why I could never take them seriously.
Yeah, nobody really could.
So, well, without further ado, we'd like to introduce Muskrat Love.
Yes.
Introduce yourself.
Fuck
you guys. Hi, let's welcome Sean back to the podcast.
I'm just like totally confused by that last like 3 minutes.
Yeah, me too.
And yeah. Let's welcome our friend Teresa back to the podcast. Hi.
Yeah, that's me.
Teresa is actually going to be joining us on the first of hopefully many Jim's BBQ podcast fan cruises.
Yes, I am.
She's booked.
Where you will actually be able to hear Teresa in her proper 10-inch voice without editing.
Well, yeah, sorry.
See, right there,
no
that
worries.
Very sharp.
We don't judge here on Jim's Barbecue, except for the guys against me and me on everything, apparently.
Right.
Oh, well, if we don't judge, then I better leave right now because I'm kind of judgy.
No, we don't judge. Me, Mike, and Dylan don't.
Oh, well, that's what you have me for then.
Okay. Right. Guess can.
But in any event, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
I'm so polite.
We're very polite here on Jim's BBQ podcast. All that we ask though is that you don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
You can also tweet us at Jim's BBQ Pod.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Jim's BBQ Pod.
You can email us at jimsbbqpod@gmail.com, and you can go to our website. It's jimsbbqpod.com, and you can download the episodes right there. What did we say last time, Jim? Wasn't it like straight from the grill?
Yeah, straight from the grill.
Thank you.
Wow.
Hey, come on. We go full force with that theme.
You know, I was so afraid you were going to say full frontal just now.
What, I don't know. I think
No, this is an R-rated show, not an X-rated show.
I wish don't I had.
You can also subscribe on iTunes.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I kind of wish that we would have had recordings of, before we started, of Sean going, ah?
Ah?
I'm sure we'll get another one.
We would have just dropped that in, like, just in random spots, I think.
Yes, totally.
That would have been pretty good, I think.
It'd be good if you had it, like, timed after us, just one of you guys being like, you know what I'm saying? Eh?
That could have totally been used a lot.
But a lot, yes.
For anybody that's listening, sorry, but if you are continuing to listen, Mike and Sean are brothers.
If you didn't know that already.
Apparently, I'm from Wisconsin.
Adopted
from Wisconsin.
They don't talk about that part much.
So, speaking of how much we are brothers, we'll just kick right into it. What are you drinking tonight, Sean?
Funny you mentioned that, Mike.
I've got a can of Oscar Blues Death by Coconut Irish Porter.
Hey, guess what I have? I have Oscar Blues Death by Coconut Irish Porter.
That's crazy.
And what are you drinking it out of, Mike?
It's my Flower City Beer Appreciation Association glass.
Wow. By golly, me too.
Yes, that's how related we are.
Haven't you guys actually worn the same clothes on accident? Like, John, yes. Someone over your house and you're like, fuck, I gotta change.
Yep. Several times.
That's so funny.
So, Teresa, what are you drinking?
Absolutely nothing right now.
All right, rock on with your bad self.
I am the boring member of the group tonight.
We'll see about that. I got a feeling that you're not going to be the boring member of this group this evening.
No, I'll leave that to Sean.
Whoa.
Wow.
Slam. Shots fired.
Ouch. Dylan, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a... fuck, I can't... What the fuck is that?
It's right on the label, dude.
No, I don't have the bottle. I threw the bottle out.
Schmitz Gay? Schmitz Gay from Saturday Night Live.
Schmitz Gay? No. Okay. I am drinking Dogfish Head Romantic Chemistry IPA.
Oh, fuck, yeah. I saw your picture. I should have.
Brewed with mango, and it's okay. It's a lot better than the Ballast Point. Even keel mango, but it's okay, you know, it's easy to drink. Not much else to it though.
And Jim, what are you drinking this evening?
I am drinking a fine ass Sprecher's cream soda.
Sprecher's.
He's just drinking a fine ass.
We have a strong affinity for that Sprecher's cream soda.
Very much so. Sprecher's in general for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of me saying, huh, you should have just Jim saying a fine ass. Just like like at different points throughout your show.
We might be able to do that.
It could be Mike going, hey, Jim, what do you think of Dylan?
A fine ass.
Yeah. Wishful thinking, sweetie.
I don't know. Have you seen Dylan? You've met Dylan. No. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well. You
that
know,
fine unless, Mexican booty of his?
Unless he's offering to be...
See, now she's all bothered. She's all hot and bothered. She can't
concentrate. That fine Mexican booty of his?
Yeah, well, unless he's offering to be my vaguely ethnic cabana boy, I don't care.
Well, you know, we were talking about renting a cabana on the cruise next year.
Excellent. Sign me up for the cabana boy.
There you go, Dylan.
What if it's I
guess I don't have a choice in this matter.
I've been
cabanned.
You've been cabanned.
Coked.
Alrighty then.
Guess it wasn't funny.
I didn't even.
You said he'd
copa?
Be.
Yeah, I've been coped. Oh, like okay. Cabana.
Oh, okay. Get it? See? Never
mind. I thought I you said it. Something else. I thought you said coca, and I'm like, what?
No, it might have sounded that way. I don't know. I talk funny. Wolf.
Yeah. Blue wolf.
Oh, God, with the wolf.
Blue
That's
wolf?
What I'm saying, wolf. Come on.
Come on, man.
Hey, get McCutcheon out of here. So the other day at work, I go to the bathroom and I'm doing my business. And I'm sitting there, you know, like doing it. And bathroom door opens. And what was that? I just heard Sean like bark or something.
I just like sitting there doing it.
And the bathroom door opens and I'm sitting in the stall and this like fucking old guy walks in and he just like whips the stall door open. Now, mind you, the stall door is broken, so there's like it doesn't lock. But you can still see that there's somebody in there because you can see their feet. But this fucking guy just whips the stall door open, and I'm like, I just go, oh! Like, you know, complete Sopranos moment. Like, my jersey came out. And he, like, you know, he, like, closes the door, and he, like, kind of, like, you know, bumbles away. He's like, oh, god damn it!
I was expecting him to go, oh!
So he, like, goes and, like, takes a piss, and he, like, he finishes, and he washes his hands. And he drives him off, and I notice that he doesn't leave immediately. And there's, like, a few seconds go by, and then all of a sudden I just hear, are you coming out? I just go, no! He goes, oh, I gotta get running. Now, I don't know if that meant, like, he had, like, he was on a schedule, or if he was, like, he had the runs, but...
So apparently Don Knotts came into the bathroom.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or, well, you know, I think he was hoping that you were going to finish up quick so he could go and do his business.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but you don't just, like, interrupt somebody taking a dump and expect them to be done real quick.
Well, he didn't know where you were in the process.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny that he just goes, are you done yet? Or, no, I'm sorry, you coming out?
I mean, he didn't know if you were at Turtlehead or the top of the ice cream.
Please. All right. Stop.
Oh, like the Dairy Queen.
Yes.
This is getting vulgar.
I'm gonna regret this.
No. There's no more poop talk.
It's recorded for all time.
Actually, I don't know about that. I believe Sean might have a story.
I've got one too.
Oh, everyone's got a poop story. I think all the poop emojis in the group chat brought this on.
We should have a drinking game every time Teresa says, I'm going to regret this.
Take a drink?
Yeah.
Well, trust me, that's all in your hands.
All the poop?
Yeah. Whoa, that's disgusting.
Yeah, gross.
Who puts poop in their hands? Teresa?
That was like on Sunday. I get a text message from one of my coworkers. I wasn't working, and he just texts me this picture. Somebody clearly can't poop right, and he just was like, oh, this was in the ladies' room. And it was just this fucking turd on the rim of the toilet.
Oh.
I was like, dude, I'm eating. And he says back, and he says back to me, what you eating?
You should have sent him back a picture of poop.
You don't have to keep that one in if you don't. That's just fucking gross.
So I've got a quick poop story. It's work-related. God, probably the building I started in like 18 years ago.
just in case you didn't know, Jim's old.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
wait, you started pooping in the building 18 years
ago? No.
He just hasn't stopped.
We've got a long storied history of
dumping. Exactly.
A long stinky history.
So in the building we were at, there were service people that worked downstairs and all that stuff. So, basically, we wouldn't wait for anybody to come in, like the landlord's people to come in to change light bulbs and crap, because we would just grab them. So the one dude comes out, and he's like, hey, the tubes are out. Or one of the tubes are out in the men's restroom or whatever. And I'm like, all right, cool. So he goes, gets a ladder, and he climbs up on the ladder, and I'm holding one of the tubes. And this intern that we had just comes in, and he's like, hey. And I'm like, hey, what's up? He looks at us, looks at Chris up on top of the ladder, okay? Opens up the stall door, drops trowel and sits down and looks up and like, what are you doing?
Wouldn't it be kind of obvious that you guys were there?
Exactly, that's my point. He just went right in and sits down, done.
I mean, like, classic intern moment.
Oh, so that was my quick poop story.
Excellent. Sean?
Yeah, I had one today at work. A poop story, yeah. I had enchiladas.
This is the fecal episode.
Yeah. I had enchiladas for dinner last night. I've been...
Oh, my God! Right, don't bury the fucking lead.
Okay, I need to hang up soon. I can tell.
Oh, drink.
And, Yeah, I had dinner. Everything was fine. Woke up this morning. I had breakfast, and nothing yet.
What's it for breakfast? A breakfast burrito?
No. I had a bowl of cereal, and
I didn't need the details.
You asked.
You asked.
You did ask.
Ask and you shall receive.
So it gets to probably about like mid morning or so, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh boy, I really gotta go. So I go to the staff bathroom, and I start to do my business, and it's pretty brutal, and I'm just worried. Just a little knock on the door. Like, we have a sign that says occupied, but sometimes people forget to flip it and back to vacant, and I'm just worried that somebody's out there waiting to come into the bathroom and know that I was in there. So, like, I'm finished washing and everything like that, and I, like, stealthily open the door and, like, poke my head out, and then, like, Mission Impossible style, like, close the door really quickly and then run down the hallway. Or just like briskly walk just to avoid like anybody seeing me leave the bathroom because of how like treacherous it was in there.
After Sean is done, that bathroom isn't vacant for a good long while.
Okay, poop aside, can I just put in how stealthy, Mission Impossible stealthy, can someone your size really be?
Actually, people are really surprised by how quietly I walk. Like, I'm one of those people that, like, walks pretty softly, and
yeah,
they
but
will
dude,
be
you're
like
a Yeti. You can't miss you.
Right, that's what I'm getting at.
Hey, I sneak up on people all the time.
Too. Yeah, people will be
freaked out.
I really do. At work, I do all the time.
Probably when their back's turned to you.
Well, that would be sneaking up on them if they were facing me. How am I sneaking up on them?
I just envision Sean walking down the hall, like push smashed up against the wall, moving like ever so slightly, a little bit at a time, with his head turned sideways, humming the Mission Impossible song in his head, and everybody just walking by me like, "What is this dude doing?"
What everybody else is picturing is like the Looney Tunes cartoon with the elephant on the tippy toes.
Did you ever see?
I was thinking of the one with the cat that turns into the horrible monster, and then every time they turn around, it just turns back into the cat.
Did you ever see the Disney movie The Emperor's New Groove?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With Kronk humming his own theme music.
Yes.
That's what I picture Sean as.
Huh. Weird.
I haven't seen it, so I have no idea what the reference means. But
well, then shut your hole.
But Teresa. You'll be happy to know I do not have a poop story.
Thank God.
What's your poop story, though?
As an epilogue to it, though, I saw somebody...
Oh, God damn it.
I saw somebody like an hour and a half later or so, like, going in there, and I'm just,
immediately walking out.
I'm thinking to myself, no, like, as they went in, I'm like, okay, I hope that it's all clear. I'm just thinking to myself, oh boy.
Dude, if it was not clear after an hour and a half, you need to be looked at.
Yeah.
It could linger. It's a small room.
I don't specifically have a poop story, but when I was working at Brockport, this is a testament to how completely clueless college kids can be.
Don't get me started.
Oh, no, trust me, I got stories. But when I was working at Brockport in academic advisement, it was in the admissions building. So anything like admissions, registration, financial aid, bursar, everything was all in the same building with academic advisement. And so the people using the bathroom could vary pretty widely from staff to students to prospective students and their parents. But there was one day where I went in to use the bathroom for its appointed purpose, and there was a girl carrying on an incredibly detailed, emotional, awkward conversation with her boyfriend while peeing in the stall. And I'm sitting there going, okay, not only is that person getting your ambient pee noises, they're getting four other women ambient pee noises. This is just not a great place to carry on this, like, heart-wrenching emotional conversation in a public restroom.
Me and Dylan do that all the time.
It was just not okay. It was not okay.
It's okay when Jim and I do it, though.
Yeah.
It depends on your topic of conversation, I suppose.
Sometimes I'll just, the phone will ring. I'll be like, oh, it's still. I'm like, hey, what? And I hear, poof, it's like a pee sound. I'll be like, let me know when you're done.
It's just, it's not okay. Especially in a, like, if it's your private bathroom and a very close relative or friend, that's one thing. But in a public bathroom, that's not okay.
I let it all hang out. I don't hide anything from anybody.
Dylan started one of the episodes of this podcast by peeing.
Yeah.
I completely believe that.
Yeah, we totally used it.
I completely believe that as well.
I swear we don't talk about poop all the time, Teresa.
Yes. So it's just for me then? Thanks.
Why don't you listen to the first 14 episodes and find out for yourself?
Yes.
Right now?
This show is just not about shits and giggles.
Yeah, fuck off.
Teresa, private bathroom, and all I could think of was private dancer. So I'm like thinking, I'm your private pooper or something like that.
Oh, God.
Private poop.
Well, I had a pretty interesting weekend.
Did it involve poop?
It didn't. But I'm gonna kind of fast forward from the weekend to Monday. I went into work and I sat down for lunch with a whole group of people that I normally eat lunch with, and there's this guy who he's like, yeah, I had a pretty fantastic evening last night. We went on a date night with my wife. We did one of those couples art project type deal things where it's a big thing nowadays around here. I don't know about where you guys live, but
drink while you paint.
Yeah,
drink while you paint.
I think that's so fucking stupid.
It's kind of an interesting concept, though. I mean, it gets people out and, you know, together doing something, you know, kind of neat. So, you know, I let him finish the story, and I was like, yeah, I was like, it's funny. Liz and I went on a date this weekend on Saturday night. He's like, oh, what'd you guys do? And I was like, well, we went to roller derby.
That sounds like a way better date.
Oh, yeah, dude, totally. It was so fucking awesome, man. The speed of the skaters, their balance, hitting. I mean, those girls hit, man. It's crazy. They're just awesome. It was so much fun. We had a great time. The rink that they had it at had a bar right above the rink, so we went and I got a beer. It was great, man.
Ever see the roller derby movie?
The one that Drew Barrymore produced?
Yeah, with Ellen Page.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. But yeah, so we had a pretty good time. And it was fun. I think we're gonna go again. I think we might even take Teresa with us and maybe get Sean to go with us, you know, and make it a little group outing. Guys, I think we're ready to get to the meat of the episode.
It was
it's always about the meat with you. I mean, this is Jim's Barbecue, though.
It is Jim's Barbecue, and we're all about the meat.
Would now be the time for a sausage fest joke?
This is typically a big sausage fest on this podcast. You're not the first female guest, however.
I feel so honored.
Well, the lovely and talented Liz has been a podcast guest previously.
And Kathy Bisley.
And Kathy has also been a podcast guest previously.
Well, then I'm in good company.
Yes, excellent company. And hopefully when we go on that cruise next year, we'll have some other female guests with us. The meat of the conversation and why we brought Sean and Teresa on is the Netflix original, would you call it? Or Netflix?
Yeah.
Original? Yeah, we'll go with original. Sitcom.
I prefer Masterpiece.
Masterpiece, wow. Sean's giving it the Masterpiece.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. I would say that's a little over the top.
That's a bit much.
Fuller House. 1, 2, 3, 4. La, 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 la,
oh. Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, the evening TV.
All right, so Fuller House, ladies and gentlemen, or lady and gentlemen.
I literally just finished watching it like 2 hours ago.
And?
It was pretty not good.
Okay.
Well, it depends on what your standard of good is.
We kind of knew that going in, Dylan, that even with you watching all of it or some of it or none of it, that was probably going to be your response.
I guess I'll just get my opinion out of the way. There's not a lot here for me to say that, oh, this is good. I didn't think it was funny.
I thought there were some good moments in it, but
if I did laugh, it was more just like, why the fuck is that even fucking happening right now?
But that's the point of it.
There were a couple moments where I kind of giggled, like when it made fun of itself, I was like, okay, good. At least it's making fun of itself.
But to be fair, a large point of the series in general was a nostalgic send-up to the original series, which was pretty concurrent with shows of its time in that it was a little bit cheesy, it was a little bit whitewashed.
Oh my god.
But that was the point of the reboot, is that it was a send-up to the original show.
Okay, but here's my question. Was anybody really asking for this? No, nobody wanted this. Nobody was demanding this.
John Stamos wanted it for like the last 10 years.
Whoa, okay. I'm wrong.
look at all the internet buzz and all the
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge amount of buzz for it.
Hell, Dylan, you're even talking about it.
Yeah, but I didn't say it was good. I generally was like, oh, this is not good. I mean, this is just as bad as the old. I think I found it less cringeworthy than the original show.
Guys, I'm sorry.
Hey, I'm trying to get the negativity out of the way so you guys can talk about how much you like
it. Come on.
No, I just had a really bad beer moment.
Don't kick anything.
I won't.
Did you spill?
No, I
did you beer fart or something?
No. I'll explain. I finished the Death by Coconut. And I opened up a can of Oscar Blues 1050, and I took the first sip of it just now, and it had like some weird like gelatinous type shit on top, and it like when I pulled the glass away, it kind of stuck to the bottom of my lip.
Ugh!
it just
sounds like you might have had some poop in there.
Oh God, really?
It just like, and then it dropped to the floor and kind of like plopped. It was really disgusting. It was like this long string like type stuff.
Like you said, you finished the Death by Coconut and opened up a can of, and I finished mine and opened up a can of, and I was like, if he opened a Jenny Bach, I'm dumping mine out. Like that would have been.
No, but I kind of need to go like pour my glass out and get something else now.
All right.
Let me just go and get something else. I'll be right back.
Can I keep talking?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I just was like, all right, this is there's just a lot. There was not the kids were pretty annoying.
Well, yeah,
can we all agree that J Money is terrible? Not even the kid, just J Money, the phrase unto itself.
Yeah, the nickname is pretty terrible. And the kid that plays the middle kid, when he's silent, he's adorable. But the minute he opens his mouth, he seems to subscribe to the louder is funnier idea school of acting. And I just can't get on board with that. But the kid who plays the older brother, Jackson, was actually cute, and for a nebulous early teen, a decent enough actor for a sitcom, but that joke needs to die swift and horrible. It's just terrible.
So I my opinion on it was pretty bad, but somehow I managed to get through it without there were no moments where I was like, oh my god, I was just like so perplexed by the ludicrousness of it.
It's absolutely ludicrous.
Well, you did watch the original show, correct? That in and of itself was pretty ludicrous.
I think the old show was way more cringeworthy.
Oh, undoubtedly. If for no other reason, Bob Saget.
Oh, yeah, Bob Saget. And, like, the fucking... And, like, the episode where, like, Michelle loses her memory.
Oh, God, yes!
So bad. Like, there's, like...
Didn't she, like, get kicked by a horse or something?
I think she would be dead if she was kicked by a horse.
No, I'm pretty sure she was.
No, she fell off a horse.
Oh, she fell off a horse? Oh, I thought she got kicked by a horse. But maybe I was hoping she would have gotten kicked by the horse.
Now I have a mental image of, like, six-year-old Mary Kay Olsen getting kicked by a horse.
That would be great.
There's always season two.
As far as the reboot is concerned, can I just say, as far as cringeworthy moments, if I never again hear someone call Bob Saget the sexiest man alive, it will be too soon.
Look, okay. I just never want to hear Bob Saget say the phrase, "This couch is encrusted with our memories," because that was disgusting.
I don't even want to know what it's encrusted with.
Okay, so I got some notes. I kind of did them episode by episode. So the first thing I thought was really funny in the first episode was the fact that they had Comet Jr.
Yeah.
The dog?
Yes. I thought it was
great. Because like, at this point, that dog would be really old.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the dog. He was a good actor.
A better actor than the middle son.
In my opinion, the dog and the baby, or babies, were the best actors.
I don't know. I thought Jodie Sweetin was pretty on the money for most of her stuff.
It was just really weird hearing, like, contemporary, like, phrases and culture in, like, in the context of the show. It's just weird to hear the Fuller House now cast saying stuff like, oh, like making jokes about like Uber and
Uber sees my boobers.
Yes, like, oh my God.
Honestly, the only person who made those contemporary jokes that I didn't cringe was Jodie Sweetin. I thought she was the only person who carried it off. And I think it was just in general her character's dialogue was the best.
Weirdly enough, though, I just love the fact how much everybody hates Kimmy.
I like Kimmy.
I don't hate Kimmy either, but I love how much Bob Saget hates her. Because it's one of the only times I'm like, oh, you're like a human.
There was such a great thing, though, like when he came back like for the Wake Up San Francisco reunion episode, that she said something to the effect of, oh, I'm glad you just didn't barge in.
Yeah. He's like, not familiar with that at all.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of funny.
I think it was more weird to see Bob Saget in the show now, given the fact that, like, when the original show ended, it was like, hi, I'm Bob Saget, TV America's TV lovable dad. And then, when he did America's Funniest Home Videos, and then he became, the Bob Saget we all know.
No, he was that Bob Saget way before the show.
Stand-up has always been completely filthy.
Oh, I'm surprised you got the role.
I'm like, oh, that's Bob Saget? Holy shit.
Yeah, and his stand-up is awful.
Oh, no, it's just vulgar and ugh.
So, like, one of the other things I liked about the first episode was there was a little bit of a...
I didn't like anything about the first episode.
Well, there was a couple little nuggets that were kind of amusing to me.
Poop nuggets?
Yes.
Oh God, stop.
So Jesse and Rebecca are moving to LA, right? So he can work on the music on General Hospital.
He was on General Hospital, which
was hilarious. Yes, exactly. That's why I brought it up. I thought that was kind of funny. Like they kind of like gave like a little wink to people that know John Stamos's work.
And I was amused when the entire cast as one unit broke the fourth wall and stared at the audience about Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. I thought that was really funny.
The whole choreographed New Kids on the Block dance was like kind of like a bit of a callback type moment. like, because they always did those cheesy moments in the original. So it was kind of like, oh, yeah, this is kind of familiar. This is like that old blanket that you used to use, you know?
Oh, the old blanket encrusted with memories?
Yes.
With
Spooge.
I wasn't going there.
No Spooge. There's no Spooge. Not on TGIF.
All right, who made the fucking noise?
It was me.
Of course it was.
A couple more things about it. The awesomeness after the New Kids Dance, Jesse performing Forever was just amazing.
How about the Rippers being in the first episode? I mean, come on.
Yes. Come on, man.
Come on.
I was just like, who the fuck are those guys?
They were the Rippers.
It took me a while to figure it out. I was like, why are there all those standing around in the background?
I would have much more preferred watching a spinoff show about them.
You know what was great, though, is like that, like at the end of the scene, they just walk through like some random doorway in the house, like to go off camera and just disappeared to never be seen again.
Dude, that would be pretty funny, though, like a one-off episode or web series of the Rippers.
That would be.
Hmm.
And then, it would have to be a behind the music drug addiction kind of thing to be funny.
Hey, if John Stamos is listening.
Yeah.
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 Oh, I think he would love to be in that. Are you kidding? To show his further singing talent.
The man never ages, though. He's like Will Smith.
Thank you. I've said that all along. He never ages. He just gets better hair and slightly more wrinkles.
So the final thing.
Is someone trying to light a bong?
Kind of.
Oh, sucked. No. Sorry. I'm playing with something. Sorry.
Hey, now.
I'm playing with a lighter.
You're a rock star?
I am.
Get your game on.
For your bong, are you trying to get rip roaring high, Teresa?
You know what? If this conversation keeps veering towards poop jokes, maybe.
Well, I wasn't going to veer towards poop jokes, but I was going to veer towards them singing the Flintstone song at the end of that episode.
I really loved split screen with the original episode.
I mean,
if you have a sentimental bone in your body, that called on it.
Well, I don't.
Clearly. Because, Dylan, as we discussed in the previous episode to this one, you're just full of rage.
Yep.
Yep, there's the Crandall sigh.
He's just constantly disappointed with me. You know.
Well, how much ammunition do you give him, though?
Oh, it's like an unlimited clip.
All of it. So really, episode 2, I think, actually turns out to be the real pilot episode of this series, in that it really sets the tone for the next 12 episodes, or that episode and the 11 beyond it.
Hey, I do have a question, though.
Okay.
I mean, would any of us, I mean, like even my little cousins and stuff, man, I love them to death and everything, but I'm not sure if I would fly from Vegas to San Francisco to watch them for an evening.
Yeah, that's a little far-fetched.
That seemed a little bit, yeah.
All right, cool. Just checking.
But
I want to know Sean's opinion on that.
What, my opinion?
Yeah, I want to hear Sean speak.
you sure about that?
About Joey coming from Las Vegas, or like the show as a whole?
No,
like
I want to know. I need more Sean in this. There's too much Mike and Dylan.
Are you trying to kick me out of the podcast already, Dylan?
Yeah, we got a new Crandall.
Dylan needs more Sean.
You can order a Mike and Dylan sandwich at Jim's Barbecue. It's number 3 on the menu.
Typically, you pay extra for that.
I thought, given the discussion, it might be the number 2.
That was a good one. That was really good, Sean. I give you credit.
Waka waka. Yeah, I agree with Mike. The first episode is sort of what I called like the greatest hits. It's that they got everything out of the way. They had the whole cast, twins, except for the Olsen twins. They had all their lines in there. Uncle Jesse sang forever. They had the Flintstones thing at the end. So they had everybody in there, and they, you know, just established what was going on and sort of set the course for the rest of the show. And then you actually got into Fuller House in that second episode. I got a question.
Is somebody drawing or coloring?
No. That's Teresa. She's playing.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I'm fidgety.
That's all right. It sounded like somebody was coloring in the background.
No, I'm just
like someone was doing a police art sketch while Sean was describing the episode.
To be perfectly frank, I am folding origami.
We don't want you to be Frank. We want you to be Teresa.
Domo Gutti Gatto, Mr. Origami.
Wow, that was not even close to the real phrase.
That was two really bad jokes in succession.
That's Jim.
Teresa's fidgety. She picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Are you saying she's on the same thing as Stephanie Tanner?
Possibly.
Or I'm sorry.
You know what? She's looking pretty good these days. She and I can do crystal meth anytime.
Hey, how much you guys want to bet DJ Tanner will play Coachella this year as like a special guest?
Oh God, I hope not.
I'm actually hoping it's a DJ Tanner hologram.
Yeah, you can go up there with Tupac and
Biggie.
Oh God!
Hey. Tread lightly.
Tupac and DJ Tanner.
What's wrong with Biggie?
Oh, Biggie's a dick.
Oh, what? Okay.
The second episode, the episodes from there, like, so, okay, Joey, it's, maybe a little bit far-fetched or what have you. I mean, he's not out there all the time, but, you know, we just got done talking about, like, Michelle falling off a horse and losing her memory. And, I mean, there's various far-fetched things in the old show and this one. So it's not over the top for what the show is. I think for what it is, it's the cheesy, funny, kind of goofy,
what it is, yo.
Nostalgic show that I was expecting and wanted.
Did you say nostalgic?
Nostalgic.
I heard nostalgic.
No. So I think for fans of the old show, it was exactly what I was hoping for. And it didn't disappoint, and they've got a second season coming out of it.
Okay, so in the second season, do you think that Mary-Kate and Ashley will be in it?
No.
I think Uncle Jesse's, like, weird twin brother that's also played by John Stamos will show up.
Oh, God.
Stavros, I think.
Stavros, yes.
Stavros.
Okay, but...
I'm like...
Oh, go ahead, there, sorry.
Jim, there's a lot of rumors that Michelle will show up. However, there's also rumors that it won't necessarily be either the Olsen twins playing her.
Oh.
Well, to be fair,
Jim, that was bar none the creepiest noise I've ever heard you make.
It was a chin scratcher.
I would say it was creepy.
I would say if it's not going to be one of the original two, well, don't even bother.
That I agree with you.
Well,
I mean, what really is going to add?
But I think if they were going to recast anybody, Michelle would be the one where you could easily recast simply because she was so young when the show went off the air that it wouldn't be a glaring.
Yeah, but like Sean said, the fandom of it and the...
No, the I agree. I'm just saying if you were going to recast anybody, Michelle would be the one to recast.
I mean, hell, they could have recast Nikki and Alex, too.
Yeah, they definitely could have, but right, what the hell else are those kids doing?
But that's just it.
They're probably actually still doing meth.
Surfing?
Everybody has come back. Every single person. So what would you get out of it to recast that character? Nothing.
No, I think that's why I think they're not going to bother. I think if they were going to have Michelle in the series at all, she would have been in from the get-go. And if she's not in now, she's not going to be in season 2.
I honestly don't think they really need her.
No, I don't either.
Okay, all right.
She wouldn't add anything to the storyline.
Follow-up question. If, for some reason, they're in season two, what do you think... Say they both come back. Do both of them appear, and then somebody makes some kind of campy, stupid comment? Oh, we always wondered how you got from place to place, like there was always two of you. Or is it on screen one at a time?
I think it's on screen one at a time.
Yeah.
Now, you know what would be really funny? If they just got the other Olsen girl to play her.
Elizabeth?
Yeah, who in my opinion is the best actress of the three.
Oh, undoubtedly.
That would be funny,
though. I didn't know there was another one.
So you know who was a really good actress in this series? Was Macy Gray.
Oh, God.
That was probably one of the weirdest cameos I've seen in some form of media in a while.
I think she
looked like she might have been like drunk or on something.
And I think Siri could have delivered her lines with more realistic humanity.
But the kicker though was the line, "What am I doing here? I want a Grammy."
That was just kind of depressing.
I thought it was great.
She looked like she was looking straight at the cue cards. Like, she looked like she was like Jimmy Fallon on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, undoubtedly. She had no idea what she was doing.
Yeah. I rewatched that episode before we started, actually. And even when they were like up there singing, like just how she was like, they were just like lip syncing to a song, like just what she was doing, the microphone and everything. It was just very awkward movements.
And she kept calling everybody sexy people. And I'm convinced that that's because she couldn't actually remember the characters' names.
Is that kind of like Hogan and Brother?
Or like my high school chemistry teacher, who was also the hockey coach and called everybody chief.
Oh, like the star stage band.
Yeah.
I just thought it was weird that she was like, "And the winner is these two luscious lesbians." I'm like, what?
And nobody commented on it.
And there was no laugh track for it either.
Right? There was just so no weird response.
Which, I mean, hey, that's fine that no one, cares what your orientation is. Then I guess that it's a very modernist take. But I just thought it was kind of weird to just assume that two women dancing had to be lesbians.
It is San Francisco.
And just the fact that there was no response to that.
Yeah.
Is what really kicked me, because I kept expecting the laugh track and they just kind of let that go. And between the fact that there was no response and what's her nuts that plays DJ, Candace Cameron Bure, is so insanely rigid, like, Christian
and conservative, yeah.
Right?
She's
the one who was on The View saying to a lesbian that gays shouldn't have rights, and they just let that joke fly, and there was no response.
Hey, people do strange shit for money.
It's all about the money. You know what? They just put it in during post.
No money, no problems.
And they're like, this will really ruffle her feathers.
Well, but I was just saying earlier that there was not one, but two same-sex kisses in the last two episodes. And I'm going, they're trying to be way hipper than I thought they would be. And there was just, again, there was just sort of no response to it. It was so slapstick.
Oh, how about the fucking, and not to get off that topic, but like with the dancing, how about the two brothers that kept like ripping their shirts off?
Well, you know who they are, don't you?
Who the fuck were they?
Oh, my God.
It was Val and Max Chmierkowski from Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, well, why would I know that?
Because don't you follow everything the actors and actresses from Full House do?
Also, they fourth wall stared at the camera and mentioned Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
Oh, see, that went over my head. Like, I was just like, is this some weird joke that I'm not getting? And apparently it is.
So, Bill, basically it's cool since Daredevil, we've been watching it, since Deadpool did it.
Yeah.
What, the breaking the fourth wall?
Yeah.
Well, I thought they did that in the original show.
Yeah, they did off and on.
Here and there. But part of the joke, too, is that Jodie Sweetin is on this season's Dancing with the Stars.
Actually, Candace Cameron Bure was on a previous.
And now Jodie Sweetin is on. And I don't think that one of those brothers is her partner, but maybe that was the joke.
Well, they lost me on that one.
So maybe Andrea Barber will be on one of the next ones after that.
I'm rooting for Bob Saget.
Bob Saget, really?
I still want to listen to Prince right now.
What?
Because you guys keep saying her last name, Bure.
I was wondering, could you imagine if she came out with a line of berets?
Oh, God.
Candace Bure berets?
Yeah.
Candace Cameron berets?
Okay,
no,
so
berets.
Let's address the elephant in the room.
Dylan?
No.
The tomato soup?
Nope. The thing.
Creeper Steve?
Yes, Dylan brought
it up
earlier.
Oh, my God. Can we please?
Creeper Steve!
Can we please talk about
Creeper
simultaneously
Steve.
Like pathetic, depressing, and creepy Steve is.
And
what the hell?
The thing
oh
that
my god.
That, the thing that bothers me about that is the whole series seems to want to be Team Steve, but he's so To Catch a Predator that like you almost can't be. Because he is one step away from Candy in a windowless van.
Yes, thank you. And I can't remember, what was the dude's name in Catch a Predator? I was expecting him to walk out like as a joke.
It was really concerning.
What was the dude's name?
Chris Hansen.
Yes, I was expecting Chris Hansen to like come out from somewhere.
I met Chris Hansen once.
Not the
Oh no, why?
Was it on to Catch a Predator, Dylan?
Oh, God.
Did handcuffs fall off?
It hurt. Oh, my God. That's the best moment in this podcast yet. Oh, my God.
The only thing that would have made that better is if Dylan was like, we were on TV together.
I swore I thought she was 18.
No, see, I was thinking of it the other way around, like Dylan was the underage person they were trying to use as a trap.
Oh my God. I was like, oh, fuck it. Phrasing.
Mike, please isolate that and send it to me. That's his new name.
Oh,
God. His new text message.
Oh, Dylan.
Oh my God, that was a.
Dude, the excitement you said that with was like.
Dude, Mike's reaction is amazing. Oh my God.
Dude, we all meet Larry Hama, and you're like, yeah, Larry Hama's right there. You're like, I met Chris Hansen.
I don't think that's anything that you would want to, like, you know, brag about.
Well, to finish the story, he was buying wine at my store. Oh, man.
Oh, wait, he was buying wine? Was he buying it for the TV show?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the prop department was running short.
Yeah. My mind just went to the, what if he tried to pick up the people were trying to pick up on the show? Could you imagine another Chris Hansen that isn't him that coming out and saying, oh yeah, Chris, by the way.
Oh my God. My eyes are watering. Shit, Dylan, you just won.
Oh man.
Wow.
I don't know if we're gonna be able to go on from there.
Dude, just drop the mic.
All right, so
yeah, Steve is creepy.
Steve is creepy.
Oh, so creepy.
I disagree.
Why, Sean, please. Give us your defense.
I don't view it the same way you do. Obviously, Dylan comes into the show already with a a preconceived notion of hate and bitterness towards the show, so his opinion does not count.
What? That's complete bullshit.
Teresa sort of veers on that. So I view it, Steve is still in love with DJ very much.
Yeah,
and
clearly.
He's come back into her life, and I don't feel what done is creepy. I think you guys are very, you know, bitter and soured by the times that we live in. And yet I'm an optimist and I look at this as I'm fully on Team Steve.
Well, wait a minute.
Up with her and I guys are looking for something that's not there.
Wait a minute.
Can we pause for a second? Okay. All right.
I say I find it hilarious how, like, angrily Hallmark Channel Sean is about Team Steve.
Absolutely. You're not even giving a good reason for it.
Now, the funny thing is, I am solidly Team Steve. I think Matt is dumbass, but I find it hilarious that Sean, who sometimes wouldn't say shit if he had a mouthful of it, is, like, angrily Team Steve.
Oh, there was Teresa's poop comment for the night.
I'm not taking it that way. I just think Sean wanted what everybody wanted so many years ago, and end up together.
They were 18 in high school.
Right, but you want to see some anger, wait about 20 minutes. Dylan will get into it.
I'm sure.
Can we talk about another creepy character on the show?
School. Look at Corey and Topanga, and they're living happily now on Girl Meets World.
Yes, exactly.
I think the thing is, here's the thing, and I think Teresa is probably going to get into it, is yes, Corey and Topanga are living happily, and we're seeing that they have a child, and they're having a happy life. DJ just lost her husband.
Thank you.
And all of a sudden, Steve just swoops in not too long after that and wants to rekindle what they had. Now, I can appreciate that he might still have feelings for her. I get that part. But it might be a bit too much too soon.
And he was in her house less than 2 minutes before he was hitting on her.
Okay, but yet it's okay for her to just jump in the arms of another man she barely knows.
Oh, no, but absolutely not.
But if anything shows us, I mean, she may have realized how much of a mistake that was by the end of the first season.
True. Undoubtedly.
But, I mean, the thing with Steve, though, is I think it was such a change from his character from what he was in the original show, where everybody else was pretty much the same. And here he comes, sappy, stupid, dopey, creepy, whatever, name all the seven dwarves, whatever, but... It's just
sneezy.
Yeah,
bashful.
The character just came out really bad and whiny.
Well, in the original series, he was sort of like goofy, happy-go-lucky, and that's what I liked about him. Whereas in this, he came off as like weirdly stalkery and whiny. And while I admit, like, end game, DJ Tanner, I want her with Steve, but he was so, like, pushy about it. It came off as creepy. And this woman who has been widowed for less than a year, and he's immediately, inside 2 minutes, is all up in her business. It was a little... creepy.
You hit the nail on the head when you said he was one short of a windowless van handing out candy?
Yeah.
It was just everybody else played the same character but him.
Well, and he was kind of one note.
Right.
I mean, what's the statute of limitations, though? What's he supposed to wait? 2 years? 3 years? 5?
How about waiting until the widow says she's ready and approaches you? That would be the respectful thing to do.
How about you don't fucking grab her hands and make her fondle meat? Like,
make her fondle what? Wheat?
Meat. What?
They were like, okay, so their date was just so fucking weird.
Yeah, but don't you have to do that in the line at Jim's Barbecue?
Ah, that's different.
Oh.
We're all about fondling the meat at Jim's Barbecue.
I thought so. I just was kind of a little thrown off, but...
Can we talk about another creepy okay. character?
Hunter Pence?
That was just kind of strange, but...
Well, the fact that he wears a pizza fork?
That was just weird. I was going to say Aunt Becky and her weird obsession with children.
Yeah. It was a little over the top.
Because yeah. he wants again. I don't... Well, looking for stuff that's not really there.
Well, was the implication that Jesse had a vasectomy?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
But remember how bad she wanted kids in the original series?
Sure.
That's how I took it.
But a lot of people do that though. Like when they're around other people's children, especially babies, they get that way.
Baby rabies.
I freaking love kids. It's awesome to hang out with them and play video games and stuff and then give them back to their parents.
Yeah, like little Zane.
Yeah, you do absolutely. With your nieces and nephew all the time. It's just my little cousins are a perfect example, man. I love my daughter, but, you know, she's 16. The little kids are like, you just wind them up, give them a ton of sugar, and then their parents are like, it's time to go home. I'm like, bye.
Yeah, I thought that was a little... I didn't read that as creepy. I read it as a little bit like overzealous, but not out of character.
I agree. Yeah, she was always about the kids and, you know, wanting kids, and then they had them, and that was, you know, even though it was jumping the shark in the last ditch effort of the show, but.
Yeah.
And someone mentioned, like, John Stamos not aging. How about Lori Loughlin there?
That was the amazing thing was like they did the in the first episode they did the opening credit sequence and they did side by side of like the adult
characters. Yeah,
and they did the side by sides and she looked exactly the same in both of them as did John Stamos.
Yeah, my only complaint with her is that she has that look that a lot of females in Hollywood get. When they, I'm trying to think of what movie or TV show it was where they said there are three episodes, or excuse me, there are three ages for women in Hollywood, horror movie babe, district attorney, Driving Miss Daisy. And when you get in between those ages, women tend to be a little more obvious about what they're doing to try to still look young. So my only issue with her is that I thought she was absolutely beautiful, but I thought that she was about 30 pounds skinnier than she should be and about 30% too much makeup.
Yeah, she did have a lot of makeup and was extremely skinny, but she still did look good. Know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
No, that was my response to Jodie Sweetin, especially in that silver dress. I was like, hi there.
Oh, hi there.
Oh, hi.
Oh,
and Sean just went, huh?
So anything else we want to talk about this amazing show?
I was really happy with the choice that they went for at the end of the series, not just with DJ, but with Kimmy.
Now, did I tell you yesterday?
Wait a minute.
Yesterday evening when we had a conversation off the podcast, Teresa, did I tell you or did I tell you that you'd be happy?
Yeah, no, I completely agreed with you there. I was very happy. There was one issue that gave me slight feminist rage, but with DJ and Kimmy in particular, they didn't rush into anything simply because they got swept up with things. That made me happy. My one big I am disappointed moment was Stephanie and the baby issue.
It would have been
completely within everything else we know about her character in the reboot, it would have been completely within character integrity for her to say, I don't want my kids. Kids are great. I love your kids. I don't want kids. And just let that be the issue. So why did they have to go the really insanely cliche route of, oh, she just doesn't want kids because she can't have them? Because apparently, not just in Hollywood, but in this country, it is a really incredibly insulting, prevalent theory that women don't want children for two reasons. You're either angry and you hate children, or you're angry because you don't have children. Like, that seems to be the only reason we think women don't want children. And Stephanie, like, every other moment in the series suggests this is a woman who, while she likes kids, she's good with kids, she just doesn't want kids because they don't fit in with her lifestyle. So why go the whole, I don't want kids simply because I'm sterile? Why do that? And while I think that the actresses played the moment really well, I think the choice was poor.
No, I agree, but I think they were trying to show a conflict or a problem or something like that, and they could have used anything. I agree with you. It's within her character to just be that way. They didn't have to make it for that reason. I mean, there could have been something completely different that her and DJ could have bonded over to have that, you know, sister moment or, you know.
Exactly.
There could have been, but for whatever reason, they chose that, and, you know, I took it as that completely.
On the lighter side of things, to kind of close out my thought on this, the one other thing that I really got a kick out of was in the 12th episode? The 12th episode was DJ references Alanis Morissette's You Oughta Know.
Don't you mean Atlantis Morissette?
No.
No.
Thanks, Sarge.
And goes, oh, you know what the song is, who the song is about.
Really about.
Yeah, I thought
I got a big laugh out of that.
I thought
one.
That was cute.
Well, if
that was funny.
If we're wrapping it up, I got a couple comments to say. One, I'm glad Netflix did it because I think they did it justice.
Yes.
I think they, you know, if it would have been one of the big networks, it wouldn't have been as good. It was entertaining. You got to give it that. No matter how, you know, cheesy it was entertaining. It fit, the characters were them except for Steve. Netflix did a great job. They probably, I mean, as good as it was and how they did it, they had to let the actors and actresses really put their input in because they've been through it once already. And you know, if season two is anywhere near as good as Daredevil season two so far, they're gonna knock it out of the park. But the Netflix has been doing such a great job with all the reboots and original series. I just
original stuff is really well done.
Right, I want to see it keep going. Not just Fuller House. I'm saying Netflix, keep up the good work. Where else would we have seen a Pee Wee Herman movie again? I mean, come on.
Haven't watched that yet, but I am so excited to, because those movies were such a huge part of my childhood, especially Big Top Pee Wee, which is one of the craziest, most insane movies I've ever seen. Yeah. But it was such a staple of my childhood. I can't wait to watch it.
That was a good impersonation.
That was pretty good.
Sean, what about you? Any final comments about the show as a whole?
Yeah, well, I've said my opinion about it. Like, I think, I think they did a really good job with it. They stayed true to it. They made fun of themselves, like we said. You know, it's just kind of remembering what Full House was. It wasn't, you know, Frasier. It wasn't Modern Family. It wasn't, you know, it was on TGIF. It was, you know, Perfect Strangers, Family Matters. It was that just family sitcom stuff. I think some of the more adult stuff we're seeing because, you know, the fans of it in the 90s are all grown. And kids that are maybe watching it, there's going to be that content, you know, like Pixar movies that just goes over their head. And then the adults that are watching it that were like my age when it was first on are going to kind of laugh and say, oh, they, you know, they snuck some adult stuff in. But I think at the end of the day, it, like Full House, is it's comfort food. It's mashed potatoes and meatloaf. It's a burger and fries. It's not filet mignon. It's not lobster. It's just the feel good. Hey, you know, the gang's all here and they're doing something different with it. And like I said before, it's exactly what I wanted. So oh. That's my take on it.
Teresa?
Yeah, I think that's almost exactly how I would put it. Here and there, there were a couple of little things that made me go, oh, God, why? But in general, I thought it was really well done. And I thought that, like Sean said, it's exactly what we wanted it to be. The people who were the fans of the show when it was on for the first run, this is what they would want out of it. And they grew the characters up enough to appeal to their target audience, who were the kids, but not so much that it lost the feel of this show. And in general, most of the more adult humor, which I got to be honest, I didn't expect, most of it was reasonably well done. There are a couple of things that for season two, I'm thinking, oh gosh, if they do X thing, I'll either be really happy or really disappointed. But in general, I thought it was right on the mark.
Oh, right on. Dylan?
It's still pretty shit.
Take your hipster rage and go home, Dylan.
I am home.
Dylan, I am glad that you actually watched it with the four of us. You know, I'm glad that you made it all the way through.
I would have only done it for you guys.
I know, and I know.
If we weren't doing this podcast and you guys were just like, we had some bullshit chat going on the side and...
You would have said, fuck no. You would have told us.
I would have been like, I'm not wasting my fucking time doing that.
Right.
Instead, I wasted my fucking time doing that.
And that's what we love you for.
I'm touched.
Yes.
Yeah, you're touched? Chris Hansen has a comment for that.
Oh!
But, yeah, you know, you make the To Catch a Predator joke, but I'm turning 35 this year, which means in 2 months, I will be... actually justifiable to refer to as a cougar.
Okay.
Where did that come from?
Meow.
He made a joke about me being on To Catch a Predator.
So listen, listeners of Jim's BBQ, Teresa, she cougar. If you're into that, hit her up.
If you've got a thing for loud, sassy, fat ladies, come at me, bro.
There you go.
I liked revisiting all the characters. I really got a kick out of Kimmy Gibbler. I thought that Andrea Barber, like, just it was like, you know, like she slipped on an old pair of sleep pants and just went right back at it, and she was like the same person. It was so funny to see her just kind of go right back into that role.
I like the bacon and egg scarf. I will say that was probably my favorite.
I love that.
I could actually make that, you know. I'm just.
I kind of had that thought that you were gonna say that.
I can.
I mean, I don't know anybody who would want it, but.
I don't either.
Sean.
Sean, do you want a bacon and egg scarf?
That would be pretty fucking funny.
I want one.
Walking around with that.
You laugh for your next birthday. You might get one.
Yeah. So I think we kind of beat Fuller House into the ground, and I think we're ready to move on to the Sarge of the Week.
Chris Hansen.
I was actually going to say Dylan Gonzalez for his fucking comment.
You're going to say Dylan Gonzalez?
For my very excitable Chris Hansen comment.
That doesn't make you a Sarge.
That doesn't make you a Sarge.
Okay.
But Do I have to explain... Yeah, you need to explain it.
Let's explain it. I mean, we have a couple people on here who may not know what that means. They're not privy to our private conversation.
Mike, do you know what it means? Did I explain it to you?
I think you did the other day. But oh, okay. Go on.
Well, plus, so, I mean, if it's ever going to go viral, you got to have an explanation for UrbanDictionary.com.
Yeah, so, go for it, Dylan.
Or we could just not explain it, and it could be on one our first live podcast. Or
Dylan, just get on with it.
All right. so Sarge was one of my coworkers. Started coming into work and calling people Sarge. And we're like, why are you calling people Sarge? He goes, I don't know. At my other job, I just started saying it. So I'm going to start saying it here. So he would use it to get our attention. He'd be like, hey, Sarge. And like five people would turn around and he'd go, you. And we'd be like, okay. And then he would use it to talk about customers. He'd be like, hey, can you help Sarge out? I'm like, all right, sure. And then we started talking about, then we would use it to refer to customers who we didn't like, can you go help out Sarge over here? So if like someone was being like a dick or whatever, and then it turned into because it was people we didn't like. If you know you were just like standing around or bullshitting and not doing anything, like can you stop being a Sarge and like you know get to work? So and now it's pretty much just we call everybody Sarge. It's just sort of like a hey you know hey guy or hey chief or hey buddy. We just say hey Sarge. So. But generally, Sarge is also kind of a demeaning comment or title. So
who's the Sarge of the Week this week, Dylan?
Actually, I don't. Jim, who was the Sarge of the Week?
I don't. We had somebody earlier in the week, and I completely forget who it was.
I didn't plan for a Sarge of the
Week. What was it? The usual Sarge of the Week?
Well, yeah, Chris Seymour.
Oh, you know what? In honor of Chris, let's make him the first official Sarge.
All right. Chris Seymour, you are the official Sarge of the Week. Go fuck yourself.
All right, so Chris Seymour, Sarge of the Week.
Sarge of the Week.
Oh, along with the guy that spilled the beer down the back of my chair at the Bruce Springsteen concert last month.
Actually, you know what?
I still harbor a grudge.
Is this a rolling list?
Yeah, it's a rolling list.
Oh, and the couple next to me at the Bruce Springsteen concert. Let's just put the city of Buffalo on the
city of Buffalo. Okay.
City of Sarges.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is.
We built this city.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to include Steve from Full House on Sarge of the Week.
Oh, good call.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Steve from Fuller House, you're Sarge of the Week.
I veto that.
Holding the mantle of the very first official Sarge of the Week with Chris Seymour. I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to take Chris Seymour off of that. Chris Seymour gets the honorary go fuck yourself.
All right.
And I'm just going to give the Sarge of the Week to Steve from Fuller House.
We definitely have to have him on for one episode for like 3 seconds and be like, all right, that's the show.
That's enough.
Jim, the key is you keep saying this like every week and we can't tell him that.
Dude, nobody listens.
That's true.
Wow. Chris Hansen's listening.
Now he is. Especially since we're going to title the episode To Catch a Predator.
Dude, I'm going to tweet him. Actually, if I tweet him, he might actually pay attention to what I say. Nothing?
Teresa's just mad about this, send-off.
Sigh.
Okay, I mean, that's cool.
All right, so I think we're all set. I didn't even hear what you said, because I was busy responding to her. Who? What'd you say, Jim?
No, I just said if I tweeted Chris Hansen, he'd probably actually pay attention to what I had to say.
Oh. Possibly.
Wow.
You might pay attention to Dylan.
You guys don't know what my Twitter handle is, do you?
It's Liam Neeson's cock.
Oh, right. That's right. Neeson. It's just Neeson cock, isn't it?
No, it's the full thing. Liam Neeson's cock.
It's the full thing. You know what I'm saying?
I'm so confused and concerned right now.
Liam Neeson has a huge cock.
All right.
There's a podcast called Hollywood Babylon that Kevin Smith does with another person named Ralph Garman.
Yeah.
And they do a thing at the end of the episode where they go kind of like our Sarge list of the week, but it's basically Liam Neeson's cock is so big.
And then blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
You can see it from space, just like the Great Wall of China or something like that.
Wow.
So people submit like mostly based on topical subjects, you know, so Liam Neeson's cock is so big it fit all 64 brackets on the NCAA tournament.
Nice. Yeah, or like Liam Neeson's cock is so big that Kyle MacLachlan wrote it like a sandworm or something.
Wow.
I just made that one up, but
I just made the 64 brackets one up. I mean, but
yeah, when I met Ralph, I didn't even think to tell him that was my Twitter handle.
But you get the idea, Teresa.
Yeah, I
so
vividly.
Jim's Twitter handle is Neeson, Liam Neeson's cock.
Wow.
Yes. So I think
we're not normal.
Not at all.
No.
I mean, hell, we're doing this podcast every week. I mean,
yeah,
clearly.
This is the thing.
I cannot wait to listen back to this episode.
It's going to be epic. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing.
It will be, especially after the great editing.
Mike, that sounded like a Donald Trump speech. It's good. Epic. Amazing.
Hey, brother.
Awesome.
It was
we're gonna make Jim's Barbecue's podcast great again.
I have the best podcast people. They're the best. We're gonna make this podcast great again.
That's for damn sure.
When was this podcast not great? What are you trying to say, Sean?
I have good podcast people.
What?
All right.
Yeah.
Apparently Donald Trump just joined us.
On
that note, don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
You can follow us on Instagram, Jim's Barbecue Pod, BBQ Pod, excuse me.
You can tweet us at Jim's BBQ Pod or email us at JimsBBQPod@gmail.com.
And you can visit our website, www.JimsBBQPodcast.com, and listen to all of our episodes currently being uploaded there.
And you can also rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Straight from the grill.
Exactly.
You can search him on ISG.
So
I want to thank Sean and Teresa for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I was glad to have you guys on. It was great. You brought a lot to the table. Very insightful commentary about Fuller House and poop and all sorts of other topics.
No.
Well, we bring high quality, high level academia to this conversation.
Don't forget to like their Facebook page, and you can go to their webpage, muskratlove.ca.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, they're working on a reunion tour. You can download their new single off of Bandcamp.
What?
All right. Well. Thanks for joining us this week.
Damning this.
And Teresa.
Yes.
She sounds so excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now get mad and start talking.
So, thanks for visiting Jim's BBQ, where you come for the meat but stay for the fish tacos.
Oh! See, that wasn't so bad.
It really was.
Especially because Mike knows how much I love the phrase fish taco.
He did.
You know who wrote that one?
Mike?
No. Liz.
God damn it.
Fish tacos are delicious, though.
They are.
Now, see, this is the only moment of this entire conversation that I wish it was a video chat, because I could see if there were those naughty invisible air quotes around fish tacos.
There wasn't.
There was not.
Oh, well, that's no fun.
Jim stopped the recording already anyway, so.
Did I?
Or I hope he did. I don't know. Did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. No air quotes, though.
There were air tacos.
No air tacos.
In which case, I heartily disagree.
You know you can get fish tacos on the Carnival Glory.
I will not be getting fish tacos.
I said you could.
I will not be.
Sean said he texted me a little while ago. He's already 3 episodes into Fuller House.
Oh, God.
Fuller House? Tell him.
You can tell him.
I can hear him.
That I used to think that Uncle Jesse was a hunk.
Well, I mean, he was. He had the hair.
The hair. He's
still a hunk. Not by time. His hair is still the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely uses Rogaine.
So he says, so far it's, like I said, I asked him how it was, and he's like, so far it's good. Like in the Full House way of being good, it's cheesy in the way you'd expect it. The first episode basically got all the old sayings and stuff out of the way. It was like the greatest hits.
So it's so it's awful.
Oh, Dylan.
Oh, did you hear?
Oh, gee, oh, Dylan, you.
Oh, Dylan. I know somebody who used to watch Full House every day before he went to school.
Oh, we're getting some truth out of this now. We should be recording this.
Oh, man. What are you doing, Mom? You're throwing away my cred.
Fuller House and head of the class.
The fuck is head of the class?
Head of the class? That's way too before his time.
No, what was head of the class?
No, you're thinking of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, Saved by the Bell.
Oh, Saved by the Bell. Yeah. Yeah.
That... another show that was 10 kinds of terrible. I need these pills so I can sing.
She's so excited. She's so scared.